The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 22, verses 9 through 13. It's on page 226 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. My companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. A man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60 of the Old Testament is the prophecy about Messiah, and the verse 19 and 20 are as follows. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor will the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. When the Messiah comes, the sun and the moon will shine no more, because the sun and the moon in front of the Trinity God will no more be the darkness. The light of life, the light of truth, and the light of glory of the Trinity God will be the everlasting sun and moon that will never wane for man. This was the prophecy of Isaiah. Concurrently, Paul met the light, prophesied by Isaiah on the road of Damascus. The time was about noon, when the sun was brightest of the day, but Paul clearly saw the light. The light was the light of God that transcended that of the nature and the light of the Trinity God. But Paul wasn't looking for the light. Paul had never imagined there was something lighter than the sun at all. The Lord came to Paul as the Spirit and embraced Paul with the light of the Lord. Pilate questioned Jesus, who was accused of treason by the Jews. Pilate, a humble man, had mercy of privately meeting Messiah, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Pilate, however, was foolish enough to ask God, what is truth? He failed to recognize what is true in front of the truth. In addition, Pilate confirmed that Jesus didn't commit treason, but proclaimed death sentence to God under the pressure from the crowd. John 19:14 reveals that it was the sixth hour in Jewish time, which is the noon or time. Pilate met privately with God at noon, like Paul. Dazzled by the sunlight of the noon, he failed to recognize God, even after having the lifetime opportunity to meet him privately. he was nothing more than a spiritual blind with his eyes open. Pilate was not the only one who was pitiful. As in the verse 9, "My companions saw the light, but they did not understand the voice of him who was speaking to me." Paul fell to the ground and heard a voice of God saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Paul automatically reacted, "Who are you, Lord?" The Lord answered, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Paul wasn't the only one who was there at the moment. There were a group of people to arrest and take Christians in Damascus. The group, however, couldn't listen to the voice of God despite seeing the light. This testimony of Paul, however, goes against that of Acts chapter 9 when conveying the same scene. Acts 9:7, "The man traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone." Paul's companions did listen to the sound, but didn't see the light in the verse 7. While the scripture of today testifies the opposite, that they saw the light, but sound. When combining these two different testimonies, we are able to know the meaning more clearly because they both are right. A Greek verb, therio and akouo, have a meaning of see and listen, as well as discern or understand. Therefore, today's scripture stresses that although Paul and his companions saw the light, they couldn't tell it was the Lord, while the Acts chapter 9 emphasizes they listened to something but wasn't able to understand it was the word of God. Overall, none of them understood what was happening specifically and correctly. Although there was the word and the light all together at the place, at that moment, it was only Paul who met the Lord, listened to the Lord, and was saved by the Lord. Such Paul was the head of the group who were on the way to arrest Christians in Damascus, the most hideous man of the group. Yet he became the only person there to have mercy of God. So Paul confessed that salvation was the gift of the Lord. Other than that, there was no way to explain the reason that he was saved alone. Who will receive the gift? That will be decided only by the Trinity God. Pilate, the governor, and Paul's companions were taken out based on the decision of God. We, however, received the gift in spite of all the faults. What a mysterious grace of salvation. This is why we should not live carelessly like Paul. Paul asked, who received the gift of salvation out of nothing, as follows. What shall I do, Lord? I asked. Get up, the Lord said, and go into Damascus. There you will be told all that you have been assigned to do. Paul asked God what to do now. Salvation is nothing like a toy to play with. It's a starting point to begin a new life. That's why we have to ask God what to do all the time through prayers and words. God commanded Paul to go to Damascus, where there was someone who would tell Paul all that he had been assigned to do. The Lord did not save Paul without a plan. God took every action for Paul before saving Paul on the road of Damascus at the very moment out of all other people in the world. In the verse 11, my companions led me by the hand into Damascus because the brilliance of the light had blinded me. Paul was not able to see the world upon meeting the Lord, the light of the Lord. How significant message it is. In the 70s and 60s, to issue a passport is extremely hard for ordinary citizens. They needed an invitation letter from abroad to go through strict identification processes and submit a pile of documents. Moreover, they had to finish a training course and have a surety who will guarantee that the traveler will come back. When all the documentation and process was confirmed right, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued a single-use passport, which meant the person with it could travel only once with the passport. So the first page of passport had a void stamp on it after coming back from the trip, meaning the passport is not effective anymore. After going through all the processes to issue that passport, it became invalid after using just once. That Paul couldn't see anymore after meeting God was the voice stamp put by the Lord, saying everything that he saw with an eye of ambition and the life he had led was valid, invalid. What could be valid in past life of Paul who oppressed church against God? What have you pursued? And which life have you led so far? How much do you possess that? thanks to that? Will everything be valid in front of God when the breath goes forth? Or will God put a voice stamp on it? What would be more futile than being ruled by God that everything you did was invalid after living a life doing one's best? Unable to see anymore, Paul barely entered Damascus with the help of others. Even though Paul saw the world with his eyes, he was a spiritual blind, unrelated to God, and no better than Governor Pilate. Being a blind physically, he's unable to see the world, but spiritually, he fully recovered his eyesight in God. Although Paul was marching to arrest Christians in Damascus, his life was invalid to God. Now, however, he became blind and was guided by others. But he finally got into the way of valid life. Based on verse 9 of Acts, chapter 9 of Acts, it was the fourth day after Paul getting into Damascus guided by others. In verses 12 and 13, a man named Ananias came to see me. He was a devout observer of the law and highly respected by all the Jews living there. He stood beside me and said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very moment, I was able to see him. Before even meeting him, the Lord has Ananias be in Damascus for Paul. Ananias was a holy man who was complimented by all the Jews there. Ananias visited Paul at Judas' house on Straight Street of Damascus. Standing next to Paul, he said, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And Paul was able to see him immediately. Saul is the old name of Paul, and the chapter 9 of Acts specifies the circumstances at the time. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Ananias went to Paul and put his hands on him. Standing by Paul, Ananias looked down at him and said, "God sent him so that Paul could gain his eyesight again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." God filled Paul with the Holy Spirit, which does not just mean internal change of Paul. Ananias told Paul to receive his sight. And based on the commands of Ananias, Paul was able to see him immediately. Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit specifically through his seeing Ananias. This word to see means a behavior to look up. And is the correct translation of the Greek version. In our Bible, Ananias said to Paul to receive his sight. And Paul at the very moment was able to see him. But in the Greek original, those two different expressions are actually one as the verb anablepo. Ananias put his hands on Paul and said, anablepo, which is a combination of ana and blepo. Ana means again or up, so to speak. The word anablepo has two meanings of see again and look up. Which means that anablepo put his hands on Paul and said, look up. Upon listening to Ananias, Paul anablepo him. Now let us look at this with our imaginary eyes. Having been unable to see for 3 days, Paul sat on a chair. Approaching him, Ananias looked down at Paul, put his hands on him, and said, anablepo. Or look up. At the very moment, Paul anablepo, or looked up at Ananias. In 3 days, Paul recovered his sight and looked up at Ananias. That would not be just the face of a man, Ananias. Ananias is a transliteration of Hananiah in Hebrew, which means God is merciful or God gives mercy. When recovering his sight and looking up, Paul saw merciful God, the grace of God. When Paul looked up in 3 days, he confirmed that God is holding him with his grace. In such grace of God, Paul was able to live an eternally valid life, no more void. This is how Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Since then, Paul lived a life that he always looks up at the Lord of grace and the grace of God. As long as Paul looks up the Lord of grace, whose arm is never too short, there is no mountains too high to overcome. There is no river too wide to cross. So Paul confessed in the Corinthians 2, chapter 4, verses 8 through 12 as follows. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. If someone's life ends up being troubled by others, no matter how hard it tried, and someone is persecuted and threatened by others, such life must be meaningless and invalid, isn't it? Paul, however, never thought so. He never fell in despair and gave up. He never surrendered to death. He was assured that as long as he looks up at the grace of God, God of grace, and does not fear even death by giving up his life for God, the life of God will work harder through him to save somebody. Therefore, Paul, who pursued an eternally valid life in grace of God, transcending worldly success, was a true Christian filled with the Holy Spirit. The motivation, however, didn't lie at Paul himself. It was only possible because God the Spirit first came to Paul, a rioter, as the light, and invited him to look up, en aplepo, at the Lord of grace, grace of the Lord, through Ananias. Today is Pentecost Sunday. 2,000 years ago from today, the Holy Spirit came to his disciples as fire. On the road of Damascus, he came to Paul as light. After listening to the sermon of apostles, people in Jerusalem received the Holy Spirit by repenting. Samaritans received the Holy Spirit by the apostles putting their hands on them. People of Cornelius living in Caesarea received the Holy Spirit when listening to the sermon of Peter. As such, people received the Holy Spirit in different ways. Each and every person could receive the Holy Spirit all in different way. But there is one common thing that people who are filled with the Holy Spirit share. They all look up at the Lord of grace, grace of the Lord. By doing so, we can only discern what is the way we should walk and what is not, and live an eternally valid life, however it may seem humble. Coming to Paul, Ananias told him, "Brother Saul, Jesus, whom you saw on the way here, sent me here to have you receive sight again and filled with the Holy Spirit. The reason that the Lord sent Ananias to Paul was to have him see again. Anablepo. And look up, and thus be filled with the Holy Spirit. The verb receive sight is also anablepo, to look up. So Ananias told Paul anablepo to look up. And Paul looked up at God of grace. The grace of God since then, forever, filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you recognize that the word Ananias told to Paul was actually an order of God toward us, transcending the place and time of 2,000 years? On this Sunday of Pentecost, God, who are with us as the Spirit, commands us to anablepo, look up, and live a holy life. Let us all look up at the Lord of grace, whose arm is never too short, and live a life filled with the Holy Spirit, so that we are able to live an eternally valid life in God, to which we don't have to compare with others or swayed by the world. Let us pray. We thank you that you come to us and have us know the Lord even in the light of the day, and recognize the word of God. We were half blinded and obsessed with the world and lived a life that would seem invalid to God. Yet you allowed us to realize that you we should anablepo toward God, who stays with us as the Spirit. We thank you. Let us all look up at the Lord of grace, grace of the Lord, every day. Thanks to the grace of God, who holds me all the time, transcending time and place, help us to correctly tell what is the way that I should avoid, and not to fear the way, no matter how hard it might be. Help us live my valid life assigned to me in such grace. As such, allow our daily lives to be filled with the Holy Spirit. On this Pentecost Sunday, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.